Hello. Obviously not Tom. It's Cheryl McLaughlin again, still filling in. Typically, I am on Sunday morning. I'm the Austin Gardener. And this is just a really fun new hour for me to get acquainted with. But we are here to answer your gardening questions. I'm a landscape designer and builder. My company is called KevinWoodLandscapes.com. If you want to look at it, look at the pretty pictures on our website. And we are really gearing up right now. Oh, my gosh. We've got so many planting projects ahead, which, of course, to me is the fun part. But this break in the weather is what we have been waiting for. So it's not miserable to work in the garden. There's so much stuff we plant this time of year, guys. This is the primo planting time in Austin. Now, there are some, you know, tropical things I don't like to plant in the fall. We can talk about that. But meanwhile, everything else, trees, shrubs, perennials, you name it, bulbs and wildflowers go in right now, too. So if you have any questions or comments, here we go, 512-836-0590 or toll-free 877-590-5525. Again, local number 512-836-0590. Or the toll-free line, 877-590-5525. So before I get to talking about some of my favorite trees that I like to use in my landscape designs and for my clients, I got a couple other things in my mind. Because of this weather, we are now cooling into the fungal season. Typically, we have to really watch out for brown patch this time of year. If you have had brown patch in your yard, and so many of us have, never, 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 never put on synthetic high nitrogen fertilizer. It is like fuel for the fungus. So if you start seeing that, and you know the brown patch is distinct looking, it's circular it doesn't really kill the grass. It just disfigures it. It doesn't kill the runners. It kills the leaves. So what you'll get is this almost a perfect round circle. And and typically the problem, even though you can't hardly tell sometimes, is a slight low spot in the yard. So we can work on leveling those up. All right, we've got our first caller online. If you want to join the show, 512-836-0590. Let's go to Hutto. Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, ma'am. How are you?
I'm good.
Outstanding. Hey, just a real quick question. Me and one of my friends have been trying to get her banana trees to produce fruit. They grow incredibly fast, right? But we just can't get them to live past the winter. When the cold snap comes, it's it's kryptonite to them, right? I mean, a banana tree thinks the world's ending at 50 degrees.
Yeah.
And so we don't know how to, if we can get past it, if you have any advice to it, or do you just cut them down low once it gets cold and let them try again?
Some people cut them all the way down, but you don't have to. But yeah, I grew up with a banana tree in our front yard. And it actually put on bananas, but they never had time to ripen before the freeze. So sometimes, some years you'll get little clusters of bananas and they're real cute and you get all excited. But unless you have a greenhouse built around a banana tree, you're not going to get ripe bananas.
And it'd have to be a tall greenhouse, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd have to be a tall greenhouse. And and I'm sure there are people in this town because there are people here that grow everything, but that's your problem. It's just not Costa Rica. You know?
Yeah. That's what I was telling her. I was like, man, you know, actually, this is the first time I've ever seen a banana tree in the wild. I was like, I wouldn't have known what it was unless you told me what it was.
In the wild?
I mean, it's not like, well, in the wild, yeah. I mean, it's not like those things grow just naturally around here in Hutto, right? I've never been walking through the woods and come across a banana tree. Let me just put it that way.
Well, that's the truth. And I have used them many times in my landscape designs, especially when people...
I love it.
They request them because of the foliage, right? And
yes,
there's some...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say there's a really cute one called a dwarf red banana that's just
really
a must-have around the swimming pool and stuff. And they're hardy perennials, but here's the deal.
They grow fast.
They do. And So there's two different ways to do it. Yes, you can cut them all the way down, not worry about it. They'll come back the next year. But you can also just, like, top them off a little bit, cut off the dead leaves, wrap the trunk with a lot of layers of, you know, like, don't put plastic on first. Put it on later. First, you wrap it in blankets or sheets or blankets or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to, you can wrap it with heavy-duty plastic. That will just ensure that the tree comes back faster the next year.
I think we'll give that a shot. We've never tried that. We've always just macheted it, like, at ground level, basically, and put a pot over it.
Yeah, and some people do that. I mean, you know, if it's established, got a good root system, that banana will jump back up. But I do have clients who don't like waiting that long for it to come back in the spring and summer, so they will wrap the trunk, and it does really help.
Oh, you know, we will definitely give that a shot. I definitely appreciate your time, ma'am.
Okay, thanks for calling, John. Bye-bye.
Yeah, okay, you take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we have lines open, 512-836-0590. I'm Cheryl McLaughlin, the Austin Gardener, and I'm on Sunday mornings at 10, but I'm filling in here while Tom is away. And so I'm getting to meet his listeners, and a lot of people don't get to listen to me on Sunday morning at 10 because they're in church or something. So now I'm excited to get to talk to some of those folks. So here are the numbers if y'all want to join the show, 512-836-0590 or toll free 877-590-5525. To return to the brown patch issue, just because it's just ubiquitous here in town, so many people have trouble with it, and I absolutely want to beg you not to go out and buy these chemical fertilizers. They have very high nitrogen. They're I don't use them at all. I use just the organic time release stuff, which, by the way, was tested thoroughly by Texas A&M and found to be more effective than these chemical fertilizers. They were shocked, I'm sure, but it's true. It's called the Stillhouse Study, I believe, and you can look it up online. The time-release organic fertilizers are much better, but if you have had brown patch in the past, again, it's typically in a slightly depressed area, which you can raise by putting an inch of a high-quality landscape soil there. You can also put compost on it. That helps with the mycorrhizal activity. That can help attack the fungus. Your grass will come back, but it's just disfiguring. And so I want to help you avoid doing that. By the way, it can be spread by lawnmower, so make sure that your lawn service is spraying their blades with Lysol. Okay, Chris, I see you waiting there, but I got to do this first break. When we come back, we'll be taking more of your calls. Hey, it's Cheryl McLaughlin here, filling in for Tom Spencer. We've got a couple of folks on hold, and we're going to go to Round Rock. And if you guys want to join the show, 512-836-0590 or toll-free 877-590-5525. Hey, Chris, thanks for waiting. It's your turn.
Sure, yeah. Good morning, and appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you.
I have some camellias that have been struggling. They've been in the ground for a few years. I know they like an acidic soil, so I've been trying to amend the soil with some coffee grounds. But I think I'm at the point where I'm considering putting them into a couple of them into a container and putting them on my back patio. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get your thoughts on that and how best I should go about repotting them or what you would recommend. Well, I don't really want to move them, but they've just been really struggling and really haven't been doing very well.
They are, as you already know, an East Texas East plant. They'd really rather be in Louisiana or Atlanta. However, there is one, and there's probably more that I haven't noticed yet, up off far west, up in the hills, over here where it's rocky, unlike y'all, that is just beautiful. And every winter when it blooms, seems like I notice it when I'm driving by. They like the shade. They're kind of like azaleas, right? They want, as you've noticed, also acidic soil. So I'm for doing that. I would Because y'all, I don't know what y'all soil's like where your house is up there, but if it doesn't drain very well, that could be an issue too.
Okay, yeah, it's new construction, so I'm continually having to amend all my the holes I'm digging with additional good soil because it has that like caliche compacted type of rocky soil.
Well, that's interesting. So, oh yeah, Round Rock. I was thinking Hutto for some reason, but I'm looking at the name Round Rock on the computer, and it's early. I agree. It's going to be a never-ending issue with you. But I feel like if you could pick a couple of the healthiest ones, but you got to do this right now, I would, because you then would have a chance of salvaging your winter bloom. Go ahead and dig them, put them in containers. Otherwise, you need to just make sure that they've got shade, not full sun, and you need to watch that drainage. And every once in a while, I'll tell you what Mother used to do with our gardenias. We had gardenias in the yard, and they did beautifully. And I asked her one time, and she said, oh, I'd take a pint of white vinegar out there and pour it all around the base of the plant and then water it in. And that just kind of helps neutralize the pH. You can also try to save rainwater. I just feel like it'd be a little bit more manageable in a container, though.
Agree. And you think if I do it right, the blooms will make it?
Yeah, I think so. Has it already got bloom buds on it?
It does. It has little tiny buds.
Oh, dang. I don't know. I didn't realize they'd already have the buds on them yet. I figured that was coming. I'm not sure if I wouldn't just wait until right after they bloom.
And okay.
Since they bloom early, because I hate for you to lose that promising little bloom thing. Maybe give them some fertilizer. Give them some time-release organic fertilizer formulated for flowering plants. Not the same stuff you put on the grass. But you can get it. There's a lot of different good ones that you can just sprinkle it around the soil and water it in.
All right, will do.
And then after they bloom, then you can move them. Okay?
Okay, great. Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate your call. Now let's go to Round Rock again. And 512-836-0590 is the number if y'all want to join the show. Steve, thank you so much for your patience.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. I have a couple of crepe myrtles that forever have not grown very big. We've had them like about 6-7 years. I've done several different things to them. But me and my wife wanted to get them away from like being bushes and make them more like to grow like trees. When would be the best time to start like cutting some of those branches or bushes stems out?
Well, let me ask you a question. You said you've had them for about 6 years?
Yes, ma'am.
How tall are they?
I would say about 10 feet.
About 10 feet.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what happened to me the other day, and the reason I asked you that question. I was at a client's house that he wanted us to do some design and landscaping for him. And he walked me around the property, and he pointed to this little crepe myrtle that was about 3 feet tall. And he said, that's a very important plant. That was a friend's gift to us, so I want to be sure and not damage it in the construction process. And I looked at it, and I said, you know what? That's a dwarf one. And he said, really? It's supposed to be a tree. I said, no, that's a pixie dwarf. I recognize it. So that's why I was asking you about how tall they were, because these things can get mixed up in the markings on them in the nursery. But if yours is 10 feet, most of the dwarf ones only get 5 to 6 feet max. So it sounds like yours want to be trees. Why do you think after 6 years, those trees are only about 10 feet tall?
I have no idea. I've talked to Tom there at that station, Tom Drumbull,
yep.
I think his name is.
John Drumbull.
And he gave us, about mulch and fertilizer and all this and that. Then we tried that, and they might have grown maybe a foot or so after that. But
Wait a minute. There is one that just gets 10 feet tall. Is it red?
Yes.
Oh, it's that. Oh, I love that one. I think that, what's the name of that thing? I want to say Tonto, but I don't think that's it. But that is the maximum size of that one. That I was forgetting about that one. Yes, 10 feet. Now, you can still make it up like a cute little tree, but I think you're at your max height on that. So if you wanted one of the giant ones or one of the shade producers, I'd go ahead and get me a different one, you know, like that's really going to be a tree, yeah,
we
right?
We bought those to be trees, and they're real beautiful when they're blooming.
But, I love those red ones, but they're really not a shade tree. They're a small accent shrub, really, that can be trimmed up. But if you want a shade tree, you're going to want to go with one of the bigger ones, you know, like Natchez, the big giant white one. Oh, my God, that's a beautiful one. Or, let's see, there's one called Dynamite that I love that's a real deep wine red. So, yeah, that's the one
we got. We got one that's real deep, deep red and one that's kind of like it's red, but it's not as deep purplish red as the other one.
Well, that one might be. Is it taller than the other one?
No, they're about the same size. Okay. We bought them in the same place.
Well, sometimes, the only other thing I can think of to tell you is that sometimes if they're buried a little too deep, it'll stunt their growth. So you want to make sure you can see the root flares out from that trunk at the base of the tree. Because if they're buried, you know, if the trunk goes straight in the ground like a post, then you need to pull back some of that soil because that will stunt them. And otherwise, crepe myrtles are very versatile. They should be growing like crazy. So deep water, if you have to, they typically don't need to be fertilized. So I'm not really sure exactly what's going on, Steve.
Okay. Well, we'll try that.
Yeah, try that. Okay, make sure they're not buried too deep, okay? Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay. Okay, Sydney, you're next right after the news. Well, surprise, surprise, it's Cheryl McLaughlin, the Austin Gardener from Sunday mornings at 10, filling in for Tom. And we have a caller waiting online. We're going to go straight to Pflugerville. But first, if y'all want to join in, 512-836-0590, or the toll-free line is 877-590-5525. Sydney, thanks for waiting.
You bet. No problem. Cheryl, we live here in Pflugerville. Our house faces north, and one of the plants that we have in our front flower bed is a yellow bell, and it's just not working. I mean, like yesterday, those high winds from the north blew down a large portion of the thing, the limbs and stuff. I had to remove them. Plus, I have to cover it up during the winter to keep it from freezing. And so what I wanted to do was replace that. My question would be, do I have time to take it down now and stick something out in there for the before winter, or should I wait to spring to do that?
Oh, no, now's a perfect time. It's probably not even blooming that much, is it?
It blooms some, but not a whole lot.
No. Yeah, if you want to get rid of it, I don't know if you have another spot you could move it to. You could always do that. But otherwise, it's not like they're rare. You know, I mean, they're everywhere. So if you want to get rid of it and get something a little hardier in there, that would be good.
Do you have a recommendation on something that it really doesn't need to be that tall? Probably more like something that wouldn't be more than, say, 3 or 4 foot tall, something like that, but that flowered that gives some color to our flower bed.
How much sun would you guess it gets right there?
Probably 5 to 6 hours a day, something like that.
No, it's not too bad. I mean,
maybe a little more, but yeah, it's right at the front of the flower bed, so...
So it can get get 4 to 5 feet tall, you say?
Okay, like that, yeah. Sure.
Okay, I'll tell you one of my favorite plants, and I'm about to plant three of them at my daughter's house, and it's called Thryallis, T-H-R-Y-A.
P, was that P?
T is in Tom.
Oh, okay.
H-R-Y, Thry. Okay. Alice, A-L-L-I-S, also known as golden showers. It's an evergreen. It gets little yellow flowers on it, and it's just a really beautiful plant. I'm in love with it right now.
Okay.
I think that would be one of the things. I mean, there's a lot of other possibilities. I mean, you could, if you like it flowering, though, I mean, you might consider something like Mexican oregano. Now, my favorite thing is Salvia greggii, but it only, I think the tallest one would get 3 feet, and that would be the white one or the original pink one. I don't know what color your house is, but there's one called raspberry that is a beautiful wine color. Now, they're evergreen. They're just not a lush evergreen. Again, that's Salvia greggii, also known as autumn sage or cherry sage.
Autumn sage, okay. Yeah, our house is white of limestone rock.
Ooh, fun.
And with kind of a white trim on it, so just about anything.
Anything.
First one you mentioned, it's has yellow flowers.
Yeah,
That golden showers. That sounds like that would be really kind of look good there. So
yeah,
I may try that.
I would try that one. I think you'll like it if you like yellow. Some people don't like yellow, but I think it's real pretty. I mean, you obviously do because you put a yellow bells there, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, well, thank you, Sydney. Good luck with that.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Right. Bye, bye. Okay, 512-836-0590. Again, I'm a landscape designer and builder. My company is called Kevin Wood Landscapes. Our website is kevinwoodlandscapes.com. This is my late husband, Kevin. We built this company together I was already in the business when I met him in the late 80s, but he started handling all the construction because he could build anything. That man was so talented. But anyway, so you know, 28-year run together was wonderful, and now I am doing it. I'm still doing it with the help of a whole bunch of awesome employees. So definitely give us a shout if you need a project done. But meanwhile, let's head out to Elgin. And I'm going to give you the number again, 512-836-0590, if y'all want to call in. Hey, Miss Denise and Elgin, how you doing?
I'm doing just great. Thank you very much. I have a particular situation that I'm trying to figure out how to deal with. I've got a wax myrtle, and it's large. It's full-grown wax myrtle. And I'm trying to grow a plant underneath it because I've got it borders on the edge of a garden. But the roots are pretty shallow on that, and they keep putting up little,
suckers.
New baby wax myrtles. Yeah. So every plant that I'm putting there doesn't seem to make it. It's in an area that doesn't get a lot of extra water, and I have tried the Salvia greggii, and I've tried a couple of other plants, and they're just not making it there. And I'm wondering if there's something else I can put there. Dapple shade, of course. Maybe rock rose, but then when I heard you say thorallis, I was wondering
thorallis gets a little too big to be considered a border plant.
Okay.
You know, and you're going to, whatever you put there, you're going to be dealing with those suckers. So I'm not sure what would be the best idea, but how much sun would you say the area gets where you want to plant something?
It probably gets about 6 hours of sun, but it is underneath the wax myrtle, so it's not the suckers that are bothering me. It's the fact that it's robbing the plants of all the water, so the plants need extra water, and it's not a place that I can give it water every day.
Well, have you tried Greg's Mist flower?
I have not tried that there. So the Greg's Mist, you think, would do all right in that kind of light?
I think it would, and I also think the purple trailing lantana might be a good choice, too.
Okay.
That's a good competitor. My initial thought was to put in the dwarf petunia, the dwarf ruellia, that's a real, I mean, but that thing spits seeds, so you never know where that's going to come up. And if it's on the edge of a garden, I'm not sure I I better tell you that one.
Right, right. Well, I don't think that would bother me because there's a rock on one side and grass on the other that gets mowed. So that's a good option.
That is a good option, and I'm telling you, those things are just tough as nails. A dwarf Aurelia comes in three colors now. It's like pink, white, and purple. And the purple is the original one, but it is a, you know, boy, that's a bulletproof plant right there.
Right, right.
So consider that. I mean, I don't know how big of an area you have. You can do more than one thing.
Well, it's a garden, a circular prayer garden kind of thing. So it's only about like 3 feet wide, and it's got the rock with the cross in the middle of it, and so forth. And so it's just that one edge of this garden happens to go underneath this wax myrtle, and that's giving me some problem. Everything else is growing well, but this is not.
I'm gonna say go with the dwarf Ruellia because it's evergreen for one thing, so that would be nice.
Right.
And you know, if you just want one thing to keep it kind of a formal, you know, idea, then that's probably what I would go with.
As much as
I love a Greg's Mist flower, just because the butterflies, you know, love it so much.
So. Right. And in my own yard, I used the Greg's Mist flower. It's not done so well this year, and it can get out of control too because it spreads underground.
It's a monster.
Yeah, but I do love that myself as well. But I think I will go with the Ruellia, and I appreciate that suggestion.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for calling KLBJ today. Time for our last break. We'll be back right after this. Okay, I am Cheryl McLaughlin filling in for Tom Spencer, and I'm the Austin Gardener on Sunday mornings at 10 on this station. Been doing it for 30-something years. But I'm a landscape designer and builder and just crazy about plants. That's sort of my thing. But we have a caller online in Manor, and we're going to go there next. But let me give you all the numbers if you want to call. 512-836-0590. And we do have a toll-free line if you need it. 877-590-5525. Now let's head out to Manor. Hello, Najme.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I was wondering if in this area it is good time to plant the fruit trees, all the peas like pears and plums and pomegranates and pineapples, if they are good to take them out of the pots and put them in the ground. I come from Corpus Christi, where we don't have winter, really. We can do anything we want during the whole year. But here, with the snow, or sometimes really having cold weather, freezing, I don't know if it is good time to put the fruit tree in the ground or not.
Well, let me ask you a question. How big are the ones that you already have that you want to put in the ground?
Probably 5 gallons.
5 gallon?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm buying them in five-gallon pots.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned some of the hardier ones like pears and plums. Mm-hmm. You can do those. You could do apples. You could do, you know, figs. You could do pomegranates. You could do persimmons. But did you say pineapple?
Yes. That's not a tree, but...
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be putting that in the ground. That's not gonna work for you. But those other ones, if you've got them, you know, up to a few feet tall, then I'd say, yeah, go ahead, get them in the ground. The sooner, the better.
Okay. That's what I was afraid of. And just mulch around it for the winter time, and no support, no covering.
Well, I mean, it depends. If it's they're going to have at least a couple of months to start getting their roots established. But if we get a, you know, if it's going to be 15 degrees or something, I'd be out there with a blanket or something. Just know, and I continuously want to remind people, do not put plastic right on the plant. That conducts cold. That does not help. It hurts. So first you put a blanket or thick set of sheets or a big, you know, something around it. Then you can put the plastic on the outside of that if you want to. But the other thing to do is just make sure that if we're going to get a really hard freeze, and it's not raining with the hard freeze, so it's the ground is going to be dry, be sure that they're well watered, because a moist plant, moist soil, is a better insulator against freezing. So dry cold will kill them. But if it's good and wet and maybe little tops are protected, I'd say if it just get them through this first winter, they should be fine after that. They're just young.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You are quite welcome. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling KLBJ today. And the other thing I would say is that, I mean, obviously she grew hers herself from seeds probably, but most of our fruit trees become available in the very cold months, like January, December, January. That's when you're going to get your best selection of things like peaches and plums and all that sort of thing. And if you want to know what kind of varieties grow best in your area, you need to go to they have such a great website. It's the A&M Extension Service. They call it now AgriLife, A-G-R-I, Life. And all you have to do is go to the computer and Google AgriLife Williamson County, AgriLife Travis County, AgriLife whatever county you live in. And this wonderful website comes up, and you can go to, like, the home orchard or horticulture first, and then you have a lot of opportunities to select different things that you're interested in. But then it'll give you, like, right in front of me right now, I printed out fruit varieties for Travis County, vegetable varieties for Central Texas, and Master Gardeners put this list together. They compile these tried and true varieties that work well here. So, and that you'll even get that's when you get your blackberry starts, your grape, your dormant wood grape starts, all that sort of thing. So be sure that you're on the lookout for those if you're wanting to start a home orchard or just have a couple of fruit trees. Some trees need more than one to for cross-pollination. So be sure you ask about that. And it's always a good idea to buy your fruit trees from a local nursery, because, or else go armed with knowledge if you're just going to go to a hardware store or something. Because if you don't know what you're looking for, they're going to have bought in stuff from who knows where. Might not be well suited for Central Texas. And that irritates the heck out of me when I see that happen. So let's see what else. I see Jeff Ferris in there. He's about to come on and answer your questions brilliantly, as usual. He's such a knowledgeable guy. And if you need me during the week, you can go to kevinwoodlandscapes.com. And there's a contact page on there. And also, I do a lot of consulting by the hour. I'm back into doing that and really loving it. So if you just want me to come out to your house for an hour, walk around, identify plants or suggest plants, or even, where do I put a pathway? Where, would you put a fire pit? We do all that stuff. But we really do beautiful construction projects too. So be sure and check us out if you're interested in having something built. The board is filling up fast now that the weather has changed, especially. And we have a lot of clients where we add, fall color and do the fall maintenance program. So you can ask us about that if you want to call in. And the other thing I would say is this. There is no such thing as a no-maintenance landscape. I mean, we're dealing with a client right now who is driving me crazy because he wouldn't pick up a hose and supplementally water his plants. We've replaced them a couple times, and we're not going to replace them anymore, because no matter how much you water, when it's 100 every day, you're going to lose plants if you're not watching them. So be sure and watch your plants. And we strive for sustainable landscapes, but that doesn't mean zero maintenance. So listen, y'all, tune in tomorrow. I'll be on at 10 a.m., 10 to 11 on Sunday morning, the Austin Gardener. And thank you so much for tuning in and allowing me to have the honor of sitting in for Tom Spencer. And Jeff will be with you here in just a minute. And have a great weekend. It's going to be gorgeous. Thank you for this weather. See ya.